Good morning.
Good morning.
That song is a sobering song, is it not?
Yes.
What will be our profit? We get everything we want and then lose out with God in the end. It's a question we all have to ask ourselves and make sure we answer that question correctly. May the Lord help us. As always, I desire your prayers. I want to look into the Word of God this morning. This is the second installment of Trauma Response. So be praying for us. I don't know how many of these are going to be done, but I know that whatever God does, I know it's for a reason and a purpose. And I want it to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. So please be praying for us by the help of the Lord. All right, there's a scripture in the Word. It's in Proverbs. Let's see here now. I believe it's Proverbs. It's talking about the ways, and all thy ways acknowledge him. Proverbs 3:6. And then we'll read, after we read verse number 6, I want you to read verse number 5. What's Proverbs 3:6 say?
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
All right.
All
right, what's verse number 5? Yes.
Trust in the Lord with
all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding.
All right, and so it says here in verse number 6 of Proverbs chapter 3, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Verse number 5, it tells us to trust in the Lord with what? All of what? All of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And so as I was thinking about, and as the Lord was dealing with me about trauma response, he began to talk to me about how our hearts and our ways are involved in this whole entire thing. All right, I want to remind us from the last message that we had on this subject, what trauma is. Trauma in its base form, and a loose definition would be any event or events that causes us harm, whether it be in our minds, our bodies, our spirits. I want to emphasize that. We can receive trauma to our very, very spiritual man, but anything, any event that will cause that or events that will cause that, either in the past or either ongoing, that would be what is called trauma. And then the response that we have to that, the reaction that we have to that, that's what trauma response is. The harm that came to us and how we respond to that, whether it be voluntary or involuntary, that's what the trauma response is. And so what God has is he has a way that he would have us to respond to trauma. All right? He has a way that he wants us to react when we are harmed. He has a way that he wants us to process information. Pray for us this morning. And the enemy, he has a way that he wants us to handle things as well. And as children of God, as those that would want to make heaven their home, we want to lean toward what God has for us. And we want our responses to be pleasing and honoring unto God. Not only our outward responses, but most importantly, what's going on the inside, we want that to be pleasing and honoring unto God. All right? And so when we are harmed, we're going to have a response. So sometimes we don't feel, and I want you to stay with me on this morning. Sometimes we don't feel responsible for what our response is. And the reason why that is, many times, is because we didn't do this to ourselves. Whatever was done to us was done, and we didn't get to choose that. And so whatever response that we have, then obviously we're not responsible for it because what came against us, we didn't choose that. And so we didn't choose our response either. May the Lord help us. And so what happens is we have this involuntary response to something that happens to us. And the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. The Bible says, be slow to speak, slow to anger, swift to hear. And so the Bible teaches us that there's a way that the Christian is to respond even to things that come against us. All right, and so God is going to teach us how to do that. And so even though our responses are many times involuntary, it doesn't mean that we are not responsible for those reactions that we have. And so that's a key point this morning. We don't choose what happens to us many times. Sometimes we do, though. All right? Stay with me this morning. May the Lord help us. If you know that someone is going to harm you, it's likely that they are going to harm you. Is it wisdom to continue to put yourself in a place where you can be harmed? Is it okay for you to ask the Lord, is it okay, Lord, for me not to be around this person so that they can beat me up every chance they get? Is that okay to do? We act like we don't know that. Why do I need to volunteer for the punishment? The Bible says, blessed are they which are persecuted for what? For righteousness' sake. And so wisdom will teach us that sometimes we are not there to be punished and to be harmed because it's not for righteousness' sake. I don't need to be in this situation. And if I can get out of it, and God is pleased with that. All right? And so God wants to teach us how to respond, but he also wants us to use wisdom in what we're doing and how we're doing the things that we do. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. If God wants me to go here, then he'll be with me when I go. If something happens to me, then he allowed it, and he's going to bless me and help me with it as I deal and as I work. But if God never had me there in the first place, then I wouldn't experience that trauma, and so I wouldn't have to have a response. May the Lord help us. This is something we need to learn as well. And so, trauma response is something when something happens to us, whether it be voluntary or knowingly or involuntary, it's what happens as we respond to what has happened to us. Sometimes we don't understand why these things happen. We don't feel responsible for our reactions because we didn't choose what has happened to us. But I want to tell us this morning that we are responsible for what happens. And the main reason why that is because if it's not in there, then it can't come out. May the Lord help us. Many times what happens is what is in us, deep down and buried, comes out when we get into a situation that we don't like, that cuts against our grain. May the Lord help us. Don't get quiet on me now. It's the truth. And you know it's the truth. If everything is smooth and everybody is, hey, yay and amen, and hey, brother, hey, sister, how you doing? I'm doing fine. We ain't going to worry about no trauma responses because nothing is happening. You understand? But when we get in these situations where someone steps on our spiritual, mental, our emotional toe, then what comes out of us is what is within us. All right. And so I heard this lady not too long ago. She said some things that she shouldn't have said. And then she said, that's not really me. Well, who was it then? If it's not you and it's not me, then who was it? And if it wasn't in there, then how'd it get out? You see what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to make a point here. Sometimes what will happen is we'll have this response that is not like Christ. And before we know it, we've already made some type of justification for it. That's not really who I am. I've heard that many times. Well, I was sleepy. I was tired. I was sick. And that all may be true. And furthermore, whatever happened to you probably shouldn't have happened to you in the first place. But if it's not in there, it can't come out. That's what I'm saying. And so what God wants to do is get in those close places and deal with what's deep down inside of us so that what comes out, even in these pressure situations, is something that God can be pleased with. May the Lord help us. All right. And so what happens is we say, well, I didn't want that to happen to me, and I didn't want to do that. Well, I tell you that God is able to help us with all of these things. What does Ephesians 4:26 say? Somebody go there, and then James 1:19, I've already said basically what it says, but that's what, believe it or not, I've said it before, it's what God has me working on right now. You could spend, it seemed like, almost a lifetime trying to get these things squared away before the Lord, but it's a worthy endeavor, and God would have us to do it, so we need to continue on until we get all that God has for us in these areas. What does it say? Ephesians 4:26.
Be angry and sin not.
All right.
Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
All right, and so a lot of times when things happen to us, we get angry. The reason why we get angry, I've learned, is because we're not allowed to have feelings or emotions that show weakness. All right? Because what's really happening is we are hurt. All right? And so hurt is not as frowned upon. You don't want to show anybody else, especially somebody that already has hurt you. Why would you want to show them that they have hurt you? They didn't value you in the first place. If they value you in the first place, they wouldn't have hurt you in the first place. Does that make sense? And so what happens is what we learn, and I want you to understand that these things are involuntary. Many times these things, my wife and I were talking about this, and she helped me with this message. I appreciate my wife. But what happened is we start talking about how these things that we develop way down in childhood are defense mechanisms. There are things that we have learned to do to protect ourselves. And so what we do is we instead of showing weakness, because when the weakness was shown, then what happens? They just get on to you even more, right? They say you're ugly, and if you respond to that, then they tell you that you're stupid. And if you respond to that, then they tell you something else, and it just goes on and on. But if you come back with something against them, then they might stop, right? All right? May the Lord help us. We Christians, but we human too. And we have to deal with who we are and what we got going on. May the Lord help us. And so way back in the day when we were first being formed in our hearts and in our minds, in our very spirits, there are things that has happened to us that have not only shaped how we respond to certain stimulus, but most importantly, it shapes how we deal with God too. All right? The way that we deal in the natural will find itself into the spiritual man. May the Lord help us. And so God can say something to us, and if we feel like it was hurtful what he said, have you ever told somebody something in love that was true, and you did it for a good reason, you didn't mean to hurt them, but they're gonna find something wrong with what you said? Either they found something with what you said, the way you said it, the look on your face, something. They're going to find something. But really what it is I don't want to hear that because I don't want to deal with that. And so what we do is we'll do that with God too. God will come to us and he'll say, okay, the person did you wrong, but what you did is also wrong in response. And we say, Lord, wait a minute, hold on. I don't know if you've seen what they did, Lord. I don't know if you, did you get a good view? You get a good view of what they did? And they've done this before, Lord. They've done this before. And I forgave them the last 15 times. But this time, Lord, I'm sick and tired of it, Lord. And I had to give them a piece of my mind. May the Lord help us. Be careful about that. You need all the mind you can get, especially when you start getting older. May the Lord help us. And so what ends up happening is we mess around and we justify it in our minds, and the Lord is dealing with us. And then when he comes to deal with us and he says this wasn't right, then we say, Lord, I don't know if you got this one right. That's really how we do the Lord sometimes. And the problem is, how can God help us if we're in a resisting stage or mindset against him? And I'm saying that the natural is now affecting the spiritual, and so that's a no-go in terms of making heaven our home. So may the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us. And so why I read anger is because anger is a common trauma response. When I was a child, I embraced it. I was a very, what you'll notice is, I don't know if you know anything about this, but maybe you do. But if you are a soft-hearted person, those are the people that you don't want to, you don't want them going on the other side. Let me tell you. Because I was a soft-hearted person. I loved God. I wanted to be a good boy. I wanted to be obedient. And you try to be obedient, people say, oh, you think you good. You think you too good. You think you, look at him. He's over there trying to, look at him over there. Who does he think he is? And they find fault with you, don't they? Remember Joseph? Remember Joseph? Remember how he was? What did Joseph do wrong? Did he make the coat himself? Daddy made the coat, right? He was a precious child. He was loved by his father. That wasn't without reason. He was a special child, you see. But what ends up happening is you start taking this abuse. A lot of times it's verbal abuse. And sooner or later you start getting tired of it. And so the enemy comes and he presents you with the spirit of anger. You see? Be ye angry and sin not. Do not accept the spirit of anger, you see? We all get angry, but we don't have to sin if we are angry, and we definitely don't want a spirit of anger. And so as a child, I embrace the spirit of anger. Because if you come against me, you're going to get something back. And so you're going to leave me alone is what you're going to do, because I'm protecting this soft heart that I got. I'll tell you, you're going to laugh at me, but it's true. I had a, Melita, what was it? Was it a frog or a lizard? What was it? High jumper. Remember high jumper? We had the funeral for him. I had a lizard. And I loved that lizard. I'm serious. This happened. And I love that lizard so much. And that lizard, I loved him so much. You know, you can't handle things too much or they'll die. And so I had the lizard in a box. I'm feeding him grass thinking he's going to live. He ain't got no sunlight. He ain't got nothing. I overhandled him. He died. I cried about the lizard. That's how my heart was. I cried about the lizard. They had a funeral for him. I was so distraught about it. They had a funeral for him. We put him in the box. This happened. I'm telling you. This is true. But this is the kind of, I'm trying to say, this is the kind of heart that I have. And what I'm also saying is most people, if not all people, are born with these kinds of hearts. God makes, when he makes you, he makes you good, you see. But what happens is the enemy's trying to get to that and trying to change that. And so we began to cover up and protect ourselves with certain things. Some people don't think that they have anger issues because the way that they manifest anger is different. With me, you will know I'm angry. I'm going to look angry. I'm going to act angry. I might even do something angry. You'll know that. But other people in their minds, you see, deep down in the heart of the man, of the woman, they are boiling and they are wishing ill upon you. And if something bad happens to you, they are happy. May the Lord help us. Okay? But what I'm saying is they did not start out that way, and they don't have to continue to be that way. If that's you, God has something special for you. What happened is your heart was broken. And so you need God to come in and repair your heart. Because if he doesn't repair it, sooner or later, it's going to cause harm to your relationship with him. And it already is harming all of your other relationships. You want to do good. You want to do right. You love your wife. You love your children. You love your husband. But they better not step on that emotional toe. If they step on that toe, they're going to get something different. You see.
Help us, Lord.
May the Lord help us this morning. May he stand by and be with us. And so God is teaching us that in all our ways to acknowledge him, he'll direct our path. And so I'm responsible for my reactions. I'm responsible for my responses. If something comes out of me that is not like Christ, there is an altar of prayer that I can go to, and I can ask the Lord to give me the healing that I need, to take what is in me that is not like him up out of me. And I want to say this here, because I don't want to forget to say this. I highlighted, I circled, I did all I could to remember to say this. So if you remember nothing else, remember this. Sometimes you have to be persistent, insistent, consistent, and it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes a not going to be denied type of personality when it comes to these types of things, because they're deep down, way down inside of you, and they're hard to get rid of. You understand? What it is they have become a part of the fabric of our very being. They are a part of us. And we see them as good. It is good to be able to protect yourself and not be hurt. But God has a way that still can happen, but you're not hurting others in the process. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. And so God wants what you want. He wants you to be able to be protected and to be hid in him without causing others harm, you see. And so God can teach us those types of things. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not telling you it's fun. I'm not telling you that this comes natural. Matter of fact, I'm telling you it's unnatural. It's supernatural. It takes God to do it. All right? But it can be done. May the Lord help us this afternoon. This morning. All right. Let's see here. So I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit, and I want you to roll with me and then continue to pray for me. So we have differing but similar traumas. Whatever I went through doesn't mean that it's worse than yours or better than yours. It's just different. The reason and the cause is to cause harm so that I develop this negative trauma response. And then eventually when I'm in a relationship with God, it comes back to sabotage me. You with me? That's clear? Okay. And so we have different things that we go through, but all of us have been affected in the natural, in the spiritual, in the emotional, in the mental, and we need to acknowledge that and accept that as truth. All right? If we'll do that, then we can get the healing and the help that we need. All right? And so here's a scripture I want us to read. And I want you to consider this as we read it, Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I'm going to introduce something to you this morning, if you already didn't know, and I want you to take it and hold on to it. Okay? Sin in itself is traumatizing. All right? The enemy is the seller of sin. And so you know that if the thief cometh not but to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so you know by the origin or who it comes from, you know what its intent is, what it is meant to do. And so if you have spent any time in sin, then you have been affected by the enemy. If you spend any time in this world, you have been affected either by the enemy or his agent. And so sometimes the sin that we were involved in has harmed us in such a way that we don't even know where to begin in terms of getting it right with the Lord. But then also others have harmed us because they were not saved and they have done some things, or maybe they were saved, but they were struggling in their salvation and they still did some things that they said some things, they did some things, and they have hurt us deeply and badly. And we deal with these effects on a daily basis. May the Lord help us. I remember years and years of sorrow. I remember years and years of self-loathing. I remember that. I remember a poor self-image. I look back at pictures of myself, and I didn't even know the way I saw myself then compared to where I see now is a totally different person. Same guy, just a different viewpoint, a different understanding. I had been so beat down by the enemy, so beat down by the world, so beat down by some of the things that I had done that I knew I shouldn't have been involved in. That I had lost who I really was. And so I couldn't even see who I was. May the Lord help us. There is a deliverer that we sung about this morning. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He settled my feet in the straight and narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place, and he flooded my soul each day with his grace. But even in salvation, I had to pursue a healing. I had to pursue a forgiving heart. Even when I was saved, I would see the spirit of anger rear its ugly head. And I say, Lord, I thought I got over this thing, Lord. You saved me, Lord. I know I'm saved, but why is this still here? And because it was so deep down, I hadn't consecrated that thing to the Lord yet. May the Lord help us. And so sin in itself is traumatizing. The enemy is traumatizing. The enemy's agents, they cause trauma. And so in response, we develop these responses that are deep down in the fabric of our being. And so before we even think about it, we're already doing something in response to whatever is coming against us. May the Lord help us. And sometimes God had to deliver me from this too. To the glory and to the honor of God. I used to think that what I went through, nobody else has gone through. And it was the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody, ever. God had to deliver me from that. Because that was something that I was holding on to, and it was hindering me from getting the help that I need. If you have that issue this morning, I want to encourage you to lay that at the altar. Lay it at the altar. Your trauma ain't no worse than nobody else. It might be, but you don't know how it affected them, whatever they went through. You don't know what people have been through. You start dealing with people at the altar, you can't look at them and tell that this is what they're going through, but that's what they're going through. They were there. They know. So you're assuming that what you went through is worse, and you don't know the half. May the Lord help us. And so what we have to do is be willing to let it go. We got to let it go. I've been affected. I'll acknowledge that. I've been mistreated, and all of these different things. But Lord, you said in your word, if I don't forgive, because that's where unforgiveness lives. Okay? If I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. You see? And so what the enemy does is he said, well, they don't understand what you went through. You went through what's worse than anybody else. And I don't think anybody has had to suffer what you had to suffer. And it should have never happened. So therefore, with all of those facts stacked up, see, that little bit of unforgiveness you holding on to, that is keeping you from having the realest relationship with God that you possibly can have. That is hindering you from getting the healing and the help that you need. That little unforgiveness that you got hidden way down deep in your heart. Okay? It's okay. Hold on to that. You deserve that for what you went through. And so we have to make a choice. Do we want that, or do we want God and his fullness?
Yes.
Yes.
You see? He said he came to heal the brokenhearted. I've said this before. I'll say it 1,000 times. If your heart is broken, God knows your heart is broken. It's not a secret to him. He saw what happened when it happened.
Yes.
Okay? He knew you before that. He loved you before that. He loves you now.
Yes.
And so there is healing that's available.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Yes. May the Lord help us this morning.
Yes.
All right. May the Lord stand by us and be with us. Did we read Romans 3:23? I think I quoted it maybe. All have sinned. Is that the one?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So there's another scripture I'm going to go. I'm not going to turn to it, but I'm going to give it to you. If you don't have this scripture already, you need to have this written somewhere in your Bible, on your phone, somewhere. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so when we come to God with our trauma, so sometimes we'll trust God with what has happened, but we don't want to trust him with our responses. We want to hold on to our responses. What God wants to do is he wants to make us anew.
Yeah.
All right? And so what he doesn't want to, he don't want us in survival mode. He doesn't want us in protective mode. He doesn't want us in coping mode. He wants us new. All right? And so all of those injuries and all those hurts and all those responses that maybe feel comfortable and seem to be good, he wants to take those from us and he wants to rebuild us from the inside out. So what happens is I don't have to try to be good. I don't have to force myself through my teeth to be nice to somebody that has harmed me. But from the inside out, I have been healed. I understand who they are and what they are and where that's coming from. I can look beyond the fault, see the need, address the need, and keep right on going on my way to glory. All right? And so that's what God wants to do. Well, so what we do, though, is we want to clean up the outside as clean as we possibly can. We'll do it by the way we look. We'll do it by the way that we talk. But we know, and God knows, if something is in there, it's in there. You see? And so what God wants to do is get beyond the outside, down, deep down, into the inside, and make you anew. When something is new, it is fresh, it is without flaw, it is most importantly, in good working order. Okay? So when we fix the outside, but the inside is not right, then what's in there is going to come out, and it's not in good working order. May the Lord help us. May he stand by us and be with us. May he help us. I want to make Kevin... I want to talk about a little bit some, y'all just going to have to bear with me because I'm either going to be preaching this until I die or I'm going to get through some of these things. So be praying for us. I'm going to talk about some trauma responses and some causes of trauma and then how they would relate to our relationship with God. God is our Father, okay? God is our Father. And we are in a relationship with him through salvation. And so... sometimes what happens is people go back on the Lord because the relationship is not healthy, not on his side, but on our side. Think about the parent and the child, and I referred to this earlier, I believe. And we were talking about Joseph, but that's not the only one. Remember the prodigal son's brother. Okay, what did he say to his daddy when the prodigal son, everybody got happy the prodigal son came back? What did he say to his daddy? I've been here the whole time, and you ain't throw me no party. You ain't throw me no party. And God told him, or the father told him, he said, all that I have is yours. You're ever with me, son. Sometimes we have relationships with parents, and I know this doesn't feel good, but we have to talk about it because it's reality. We have a relationship with one or both of our parents that is unhealthy. Okay? And I preached a message a while back, and I want you to refer to it if you need to. But it talked about what we don't deal with, in essence, I forget the name of it, somebody help me if you have it, but what we don't deal with, we hand down to our children and to their children and to their children. I know that my parents did the best that they could, and yours probably did too. But what can happen is unresolved issues, that's the name of it. What can happen is The unresolved issues that your grandparents had were passed down to your parents, and then the enemy's trying to pass them down to you. But what I'm saying is it don't have to go like that. We can stop that right here, right now. We can acknowledge it. We can say, Lord, help me with it, and then be undeterred until we get the blessing like Jacob was. You see what I'm saying? And so what ends up happening is you have these unhealthy parent-child relationships that can cause harm in the child, and we love the parent too, and we want them to get help too, but the children are innocent in this situation up to a point. But when you get older, then now you are responsible as God deals and works with you. Now it's on you. What are you going to do? And so what we'll do is we'll continually, if we want to, we'll keep blaming our parents. If they hadn't have done this, I wouldn't be this way. And that's true. I said that's true. But God, though, what can God do? What can God do with a broken heart? What can he do with a broken mind? What can he do with when we bring ourselves to him? What can he do with us? You see? The Bible says that he's a redeemer. He's a healer. He's a consolator. He's a comforter. On and on and on and on, we can get the help that we need. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. And so there comes a time where maybe it's someone else's responsibility, but sooner or later it's on me and it's on you. What are we going to do with where we're at and where we want to be before the Lord? May the Lord help us. All right, so how that affects us is obviously the relationship with God. He's our Father and we are his children. So sometimes we have these responses. We begin to get rebellious. If somebody be hard on us, I remember my father, before he was saved, he was not a good person at all. That's the fact. He'll tell you that. He apologized to me for the things that he done. God saved him. Amen. And he changed him.
Thank the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But he wasn't. And so what ends up happening was I start developing a defiant spirit, a rebellious spirit, along with the anger, because the anger, that they go right together. I'm mad and I don't like what's happening to me, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do, but I ain't going to do it in the way you tell me to do it. I ain't going to do it when you tell me to do it. I'm going to do it with an attitude in my heart, and I'm going to throw this thing around, and I'm going to kick that, and I'm going to hope you don't hear it, and I get another whooping. See what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I had more than one whooping in the span of an hour. It's the truth. And they was right about the second whooping, but not the first one. What I got in trouble for in the first place, it wasn't right. You can't whoop your kids because you're mad. You want me to say that again? You can't whoop your kids because you're mad, even though the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. It did not say, whoop your kids because you're mad. Whoop your kids because you're embarrassed. Verbally abuse them because you're embarrassed. Belittle them and berate them because they made you feel bad. Mm-hmm. That ain't what the Bible said. When you are training a child in the way that they should go, your main idea behind what it is that you're doing is to correct behavior. And even if you got to go and pray yourself, I've had to do it. And you had to wait on the Lord until you had the right mind and the right attitude so that you can deal with what you're dealing with and not go overboard, then you need to do that by the help of the Lord. Because sometimes, let's be honest, your children can hurt you. It don't go one way, it go both ways. And we need the Lord to help us to be examples of the believers. We need him to help us to train this child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. You see. And so we take these types of mindsets. Remember, I got anger. I got some other ones too. But we ain't going to talk about all of them. Y'all not getting everything today. Lord, help us. But I had some anger and I had some rebellion. And so when God came to deal with me, it wasn't about him being right and me being wrong. That was already a foregone conclusion. I knew that from the gate. From the very beginning is what I'm saying. It wasn't about that. I was just rebellious. And I was telling God, well, what about this, Lord, in my mind? Well, you let me get all this happened to me. Why is that? Not knowing that he had a reason. Remember Joseph? Do you know that God has a reason, a will, and a purpose in your life? Do you know that there's a reason why the things that are happening, whether it be good or bad, there's a reason why it's happening to you? And if you give your heart to the Lord and you stick with the Lord, you'll know if you follow on to know. I can tell you exactly why some of those things that I went through, why I went through them. I can tell you now. But not before. And so I was rebelling against God. That was my trauma response. I was fighting. I knew that I was wrong. I knew that I needed salvation. I knew, most importantly, that I'd be lost if I died in my sins. I knew that. I knew that. God in his mercy, he stuck with me, didn't he? I'm so happy for that. What I'm saying is our trauma response can be rebellion. And then we take that into our relationship with God. And he tells us what we need to do. And we tell him, no, I don't, Lord. No, I don't. You got that wrong, Lord. We don't do it like that, but that's how we react and respond to his dealings with us. May the Lord have mercy upon our souls. May he bless us and may he help us. I'm going to talk about one more response and a trauma. There are others. Then I'm going to talk about the flight response. Then I'm going to sit down. I know I'm in overtime. Y'all just pray for me. One of the responses that we have, and this is to women. I want to talk to the women this morning. A lot of times I try not to talk too much directly to women because I'm not a woman, so I don't know it all. But I know a little bit of it. I only had 9 sisters. Just 9. So you learn something there if you're paying attention. Sometimes women can be abused by men. And what can happen is they bring that into their marriages and into their homes. And so, and it's not right. Listen, it ain't right. A man abusing a woman abusing a man is wrong. But we're talking about the women right now being abused. I don't care. You have no right to abuse a woman. That's the way it is. And if you have a problem, ask the Lord to help you with it. When you're doing that, something is wrong with you. I know this. God has helped me. There's more than one way to abuse somebody. The way you look at them can be wrong. It can be in the tone of your voice. You can physically berate and belittle. Nothing they do is okay. That is not like Christ. And it's not going to make heaven either. If you find yourself in a place where that's what you are and that's who you are, do business with God. Chances are something happened to you. What ends up happening is some woman done harmed you and now you're hurt. And so you're going to take it out on somebody else. Have you ever heard the term hurt people hurt people? That's really true. And so you have to seek for the help that you need as a man and get yourself right with God, and he can help you treat your wife like you need to. But what in the meantime, between time, she's getting hurt. And so then she begins to defy you. She begins to defy God. And you say, I don't know what's wrong with this woman, because the Bible says, woman, obey your husband. Do it say that? It does say that. What else does it say, though? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Are you doing that? Stop pointing the finger at your wife. But wives, if you're in this position, women, if you're in the position, this may be your problem with your relationship with God, because newsflash, God is a man. Uh-oh. Let me step over here, because I stepped in it over there, didn't I? And you may have a spirit of rebellion against men in general. That ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Ain't no man going to do me like that. The way he did me, I'd be dead and gone before I let him do me like that there. And so we grab that and we're holding on to that deep down. We forgot that we said it, but it's down in here. And so God is dealing with us, and we can't accept his order. We can't accept his leadership. We're questioning everything. That you ever have somebody just question everything that you do? You right, and you know you right. You're right, and they you know you right, and they still questioning you. What is that? Lord, help us. And so women, do business with God. Men, do business with God. But what do men do the best on earth? Deny, deny, deny. I'm good. It didn't hurt. Yes, it did. That's why you acting like that. You see? The woman, she knows it hurts, but she play around if you want to. She gonna get you one way or another. May the Lord help us. All right. I'm running out of time. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. Flight response is the last thing we want to talk about. We had talked about some responses that we can have. Obviously, this is not comprehensive. Obviously, this is to start the conversation between you and the Lord. If you have any issues, any problems, even if it's something that I didn't mention, but God brought it to your heart, I'm encouraging you, do business with God. That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying also, this is for the third time, do business with God until you have what you need. Okay? Keep going till you get what you need. And then once you got it, make sure that you keep it. The devil don't care about you getting a victory if you're going to give it back anyway. You understand? And so we got to get these victories, and then we got to keep them. May the Lord help us. Flight response. I want to talk to you about Genesis. Genesis 3, 7, and 8. Y'all know these scriptures. They're very known to us. We're very familiar is the word I was looking for. Genesis 3, verses 7 and verses 8. What does it say there in Genesis 3?
Were open,
okay.
And they knew that they were naked.
All right.
And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
All right.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
All right.
And Adam and his wife hid themselves.
What they do?
Themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
All right. Remember, I was telling you that sin is traumatizing. I told you that the devil, involvement with the devil, that's traumatizing. And so these individuals, of course, the enemy tricked them into doing wrong, right? The enemy had tricked them into transgressing. That's what sin is. Transgressing, knowingly transgressing God's law. They knew that they were not to partake of that tree. They knew that. Okay. Matter of fact, they discussed it when they were talking about doing it. Okay. The enemy was talking and they were talking back and forth. You see what I'm saying? That's a problem anyway. So the enemy tricked them into doing that. And then what I want us to highlight and pay attention here is what happened after. All right. In verse number 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Sometimes what we try to do is we try to cover it up. We try to make it better by making it look better on the outside. I've done wrong. I've got this, whatever I've got in me, and it's not right, but I'm going to dress this thing up, and I'm going to repackage it, and it's going to be okay. Is it going to be okay? Why not? Why not? You see? How can you address it if you are covering it up? You're trying to justify it. You're trying to use some other form of dealing with it other than, do you know that they should have been just honest with the Lord and said, Lord, we did wrong. We are sorry. But Lord, don't curse the world for it, Lord. Send us somewhere else or something, but we did wrong, Lord. Do a do-over. Get a new Adam and Eve. Something. But don't curse us and don't, please, Lord, have mercy on us. But what was their response, though? Let's cover it up. And then the other one in verse number 8, what'd they do? They went and hid, didn't they? And that's sometimes what we do with God. We've done wrong. God has dealt with us. We have disobeyed him in some kind of way. And we know that we are wrong. And we hide from God. And this has been going on over and over and over again. May the Lord help us. When God has the ability to just come and deal, God loves us. And so when he comes to deal with us, how he gonna deal with us if we're running away from him? Here I am, Lord. You know it anyway. Where am I going to go that you're not there anyway? You know how futile that is in the natural sense or even in the spiritual sense. You can't go anywhere where God isn't. God is everywhere. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so you can't run from God. And why would you? That's where your help is. And so if something is going on with you and you've been running from the Lord, if your trauma response, sometimes we run from things that we're afraid of. Sometimes we don't even know why we're afraid of what we're afraid of, but we are afraid of it. And so we run. God is not someone that we need to be running from. He's the one that's going to help us. He's the one that's going to heal us. But he can't do that if we're on the run from him. May the Lord help us this morning. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. My goal and my aim is to be pleasing and honoring unto God. I want to make heaven my home. But I also want to be a blessing in his kingdom. I see a lot of people that are hurting. I see a lot of people that need help, even people that are saved. And so what I want to do is make it clear and make it plain that God has the help that we need. No longer am I walking around sad and mad and unhappy. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm different now by the grace and help of God. If God can do that for me, he can and will do that for you. May the Lord help us this morning. You pray for me, my golden name, make heaven my home. I want you to go with me. You go with me, I'll go with you. We'll see each other there by the grace and help of God. May God help us.